Part 1.
I used to want to forgive, but now all I want is to be let alone. I don't have forgiveness left in me. My forgiveness ran out with her blood on that long backwoods stretch of highway when he crawled away in terror that he would be found out. He left her to bleed to death because he could not bear to watch his own life's blood draining into that red Tennessee dirt. He could not accept that a life he made, he had also destroyed. He could only think in the think-speak of whiskey that no one must know, and he gathered up the shards of the bottle, searching for them in the darkness, the smell of burning rubber. He clasped the jagged pieces against his shirt, cutting himself on the glass, and crawled with them far out into the cornfield on the right side of the road, where he dug a hole with his fingers and buried them as deep as he could, which wasn't deep enough. He lay there in the trampled corn until his mind started to search through the debris of drunkenness and work itself back into logic, and he realized, in the lightning darkness, the shadowy corn stalks starting to emerge around him, that he was in it deep. So he dragged himself out of the field, on his hands and knees at first, and then staggering to his feet. Not so much from the whiskey now, but in the clearing consciousness of accountability, and made his way back to the scene of the crime. When they found him, he was leaning, sobbing over our daughter, dirt all over his hands and knees, and sweat, tears, blood on his face, and he was saying, "Sleep now, Ellen, sleep. We'll wake you in the morning."
I never really knew my mother's father, so when I received the message on my answering machine from a magistrate at the Sweetwater Courthouse asking me to attend the reading of his will, it was as if I'd won a prize in a contest I couldn't remember having entered. I sat in my Brooklyn apartment in the fading afternoon light, listening to the soft drawl of the voice on the machine several times while I tried to figure out what it meant. Then I called my dad.
"Hi, honey,"
he said.
"Well, I'll be damned."
He was silent for a moment.
"Of course you know there's no need to go down there. They can send you the details of whatever it is the old buzzards left you."
I didn't even know he died.
"Elaine sent me the obituary last week."
His voice sounded tired.
"I guess I should have called you."
"But what does it mean?" I said. "Why would he leave me anything? He never even so much as wrote me."
"Oh, it's probably something of your mother's he's been hanging on to all these years. Some keepsake."
"Why now, though? What good did he think it would do?"
"Who knows why anybody does anything? Maybe this is his way of apologizing. To be fair to the guy, Cassie, it couldn't have been easy for him. I'm sure he's been carrying around a lot of guilt for a long time."
I laughed dryly. "Never stopped him from drinking." I could hear my dad draw a deep breath.
"That's just what Elaine says, but then she was never his favorite kid. Look, Amory Clyde had a hard life, and the drinking he did after the accident was different. It was his only way of dealing with it. I don't think it's for us to judge."
I sat there fingering the dial on the telephone. I tried to remember my mother's face, but all my memories seemed to be derived from snapshots. I could see her in a lime green dress and black shoes, short dark hair and red lipstick. She was holding me up, pressing our cheeks together, whispering through smiling teeth, "Smile at the camera, honey." Another time I vaguely remembered we had gone to the zoo. I was wearing white tights and a tan corduroy dress and holding a blue balloon. When I pointed at the gorillas and made a face, she scratched her head like an ape and pretended to peel a banana.
"I've got to go, sweetheart," Dad was saying. "Susan's out there in the kitchen by herself. She's getting so big I want to keep her off her feet as much as possible these days. But if you come into a fortune, don't forget who raised you.
You mean Mrs. Urbanski? I smiled into the phone.
Hey, you hated her guts, remember? You told me she used to make you floss until your gums bled. She made you swallow Listerine every time you brushed your teeth.
Did I tell you that? I really must have wanted to get rid of her. After he hung up, I rested the receiver on my shoulder for a moment. As long as I held on, there'd be a connection between us. If he picked up the phone again, I'd still be there. I imagined him going back and chopping onions, whipping eggs for a souffle, laughing with Susan in the kitchen as people waited for their food. Sometimes all I wanted to do was go home and live above the restaurant again, waking to the voices of delivery men on the street below, drifting to sleep at night amid the smells of lemon chicken and fresh bread.